All right, we ready to begin? Yes. Now that the fun part's over, we're going to do some serious and boring. I'm being funny, you know. This feels a little loud, if you don't mind, but it's up to you. You're the ones who have to listen to it. Keep you awake. We can also turn the air conditioner on. No? Yes. Yes, I am. Is it taking you this long to figure that out? Let's pray. So, Father, I love you. I just thank you for the encounter we've had thus far in your presence. Lord, any moment that we can spend with you, loving on you, is Lord, the best use of our time on this earth. And so, God, I'm just thankful for that. Thank you that you showed yourself to us. Lord, I'm asking that you'll use the rest of this time to really get into our heart, Father, and direct us and raise up for your people, for yourself, a people, a bride who is without spot or wrinkle. Lord, we want to measure up to the fullness of Christ, as Ephesians says. So here's our life. Please speak. Speak the truth, Father, in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're still in the series of holy, and you know, it's so hard in a way, and I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you, for your own sake, to speak on holiness being imperfect, you know? And we're all broken and imperfect. It's hard to speak about holiness when, you know, you've been in my shoes. So as you hear, as we continue to speak, please know that I'm not preaching at you. We're collectively rising up to this standard of holiness that God desires, right? Right. But we do serve a wonderful God, and he ordained us for holiness. He planned it from the beginning of the world. We've talked about that over and over. It's important to remember that, because at times we feel like, I feel like I derail myself. Do you feel that way? And so it's important to say, but you know what? He's not going to give up on that. We're surrendering to the one who desires that for us. And so it's less about us, you know, trying harder, doing better. It's more about surrendering to the one who wants to make us holy, right? And so the message you're going to walk away with throughout the rest of the series until we're done is surrender. It's all about surrender, right? How many of you surrendered your life when you came to Christ? And then at some point, you just stopped doing that? Yeah. Talked about last week how in 2 Timothy 2, 21, he said, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. And that's where we ended. Remember, we showed the different ancient vessels. We had some that were honorable. We had some that weren't so honorable. And we're talking about how certain ones had very specific uses. Some of them were so valuable in a sense they could be used in any scenario, right? Like, and you guys were talking about the bowl of cereal, right? We talked about how there are very necessary things in the home that you don't necessarily honor. You're glad they're there, like the chamber pot, right? And the Lord is saying, like, as you surrender yourself to holiness in 2 Timothy, he said, you'll be purified and prepared for every good work, right? Not just certain specific ones. And I look forward to that. I look forward to watching the Lord raise us up, a people up, not just this church, but the church, right? To where we're ready and able for every good work. Because the Holy Spirit is just so purely inner conflict. That's happened once or twice. Yes? And what was it? That inner conflict, what was it? There's usually things that come to mind. First of all, you're crazy. Did I really hear God? Is he really directing me? But then next is, am I qualified? Am I worthy? Right? And really, none of us are, so we got to get that out of the way. But as we surrender to holiness, to his purification process, he can prepare us so there's no more inner conflict. There's just jumping and diving and saying, yes, Lord, meet me. I'm broken. Meet me. Your greatness is bigger than my brokenness. Meet me, right? Yes? Okay, cool. Whew. Oh, good. Good, good, good. So I don't have a slide for this. This is exactly like the way we like to open up. Yes. But Judges, the book of Judges is about a whole bunch of imperfect people. And specifically, I want to speak to this life of Samson, right? You guys know Samson, the strong man? That dude, I mean, he was, like, when it came to sinning, he was, like, neck and neck with me. How about you? You know what I'm talking about? The guy was always doing something crazy, and yet the Lord was able to use him. So what I wanted to get at, why I want to read this, I have a selfish perspective in doing this, but it's to show you we surrender to his holiness over here, but never think that it's all about you getting it right before God can use you, okay? So I'm doing this, but not because I got a person here, but because here's one extreme, all right? In this extreme, it's I have to be holy so he can use me for every good work. Over here is another extreme, which is God can use you anyways. And then this is where you want to be, reaching for this, but never forgetting that. Does that make sense? So I wanted to read out of Judges 14, just one verse, verse number 19. You know, Samson had just gotten done with a whole bunch of sinning and tempting the Lord. And he's now pursuing the marriage of a woman that was specifically not even allowed, according to his religion, for him to marry her. And he doesn't care. He's going for it, you know. And verse 19 of Judges 14 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord," that's the Holy Spirit, "powerfully took control of him, and he went down to the town of Ashkelon, and he killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had answered his riddle." Can I just tell you, like the Spirit of the Lord fell on this broken guy who was pursuing sin and was now trying to pay back guys who ripped him off by finding out his riddle because he was in the wrong place, knowing he was doing the wrong thing, and he's just a mess. Know what I mean? He's just a mess. And the Spirit of the Lord literally put him on like a glove. It says the Spirit of the Lord took control over him. Is this weird? Do you understand? Okay, cool. I want you to get that, okay? Don't forget the extreme that I'm painting over here. We're reaching for holiness, but he can still use you. So if there's any part of us that are saying, man, I screwed up again. Yeah, surrender it again and go back this way. Go back this way. Know what I mean? Go back. It's embarrassing and it's frustrating and it's, you know, all these things. But just throw yourself to this direction. All right. And learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive others. Amen. So we serve a wonderful God whose thoughts are greater and higher than ours. And his influence on our lives drives us to want to be holy like him. He knows us completely. He understands all of our weaknesses, right? So how do we learn to surrender to that process, the direction over here? How do we surrender to holiness? Like it's one thing to say, I'm going to do better, right? I'm going to commit. I'm going to get an accountability partner. I'm going to show up to the meetings. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to do that, but it's how do I just fully surrender to and give myself over to this process in which the Holy Spirit gets to make me holy? I'm going to speak to you out of my expertise because I got it all figured out. But there's a lot of things that get in the way, right? Fear of losing control. Fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of going through something difficult, fear of hard work, fear of unfair thoughts about who God really is. All that stuff, right? And we have to surrender by turning that off and just ignoring those voices and moving forward to what he wants, right? I feel like we are not qualified to even do the inventory on our own life, right? Because Jeremiah 17 tells us that the heart is desperately wicked, above all things. Who can know it, right? That's a rhetorical question, and the answer is no one, right? We will always bias our thoughts about our progress and ourselves in favor of ourselves, right? Typically speaking, unless you hate yourself, right? And so the Lord, he really knows us, and our heart is always distracting us and telling us, no, you're doing fine. You know, you deserve that, or you tell them, they or the problem, or fill in the blank, right? Hey, Jesse. So if I can't surrender because I can't even give a good inventory of my own heart, then I'm lost, right? I mean, what's the connection, the bridge that's going to get me over that hump? I can't even see what's wrong with me, let alone fix it, right? And that's this process of God searches. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of today talking about. We'll be in Psalms 139, but what is it to be searched by the one who already knows me, right? He knows us. He loves us. And yet, why? Why would God need to search us if we are already known by him? Yeah, and the answer is we need him to search us because we can't see clearly. Our mirror is fogged. We don't know what's going on inside. So we have to allow him to search us, to show us why we need him, where we need him, how we need him, when we need him, where's it going, and right? Otherwise, we just continue doing the same stuff and hoping to do better. Right? You with me? Cool. I got a little wheel. It's like a couple slides forward, if you don't mind throwing this on there. So this is my little wheel of chaos, okay? No, it's a wheel of growth and progress. It's just life until we get to heaven. Step number one, I've got this. Step number two, God tests us and he reveals brokenness within us. Right? Number three, we fail and we surrender our brokenness. Right? Number four, God takes us through a learning process. Number five, we learn to be free in Jesus. Number six, we build confidence as we grow. Number seven, I got this. Back again. Hopefully not as bad, right? Hopefully the volatility scale is like less and less and less over time. And the distance between all the episodes gets longer and longer, right? In a circle. Yeah. In a circle. That's right. On a Flintstones wheel. Step number one there, you know, I got this. And that's the original lie that the enemy gave to Eve, which called her to eat the fruit, right? Genesis 3:5, and that's backwards, Kathy. But it says, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil, right? The temptation is you can do this without him. You can know something that you're not supposed to know. You can become something you're not supposed to become, but without him. That's the whole, like, apex to the lie that we live, right? And that equals, I've got this on our little wheel, right? Pride. It's pride. It's also just like habit. You get into this grind of, well, I've done this before and I know what I'm doing, right? It could never happen to me. Because I know myself and I would never do that. I would never say such a thing. I would never think such a thing. I would never say yes to anything like that. I could never say no to her, right? And yet we do it, right? Is it worth it? It's worth it. So the word knowing, back in the Genesis scripture, that word is yada, and that word is the same word that they use whenever you see in the Old Testament, it says like Adam knew his wife, even they became pregnant. It's the devil was tempting him to not only like, or Eve, not only understand something, like you'll just kind of get it, but to know it in every aspect, on every level, to understand spiritually and physically and sensually and on every possible level, to understand good and evil and do it apart from God. And we kind of do that in our life, right? It's like, man, if I could just scratch that itch in my life, I'll know something, even though God doesn't want it in my life, but it'll scratch the itch, so I'm going for it. Yeah, me and Mike are nodding. And then Jesus, he comes over, he tells us the exact and opposite truth in John 15, and I put it in the MSG version, because I like Chinese. live in me, Jesus said. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. Can you say can't? That's a positive thing, huh? You can't do it on your own. I'm the vine. You're the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Which, the positive side of reading that is, connected to me, you can produce things, right? And so on the first part of our cycle, I got this. We start to learn as he shows us, as he searches us. It's not for his benefit. He already knows the answer. He's revealing things so that they come up to the surface. And then we, first of all, we become shamed. We try to hide it. We become embarrassed. We try to deny it. We try to blame. We try to come up with an excuse, right? We then deny it even exists. And then finally, we're so broken and like, all right, fine, you got me. I'm done. Yes. Now we can surrender. And it's in that place of surrender is where we can really begin to learn and discover things we didn't know, because before our ears were closed, now they're wide open, right? And the Lord, he will not ignore a desperate heart. It's not enough just to know more about God, you know, the temptation of the Bible study process, right? Which is necessary. I'm not downing that, but to think if I could just know more, I can be better. That's the exact same lie as if I could just do better, I won't be stuck in my sin. If I just know more, it'll, know him. If I just know my Bible more. I've been reading it all my life. I'm not perfect yet. How about you? Yeah? Read it one more time. Right? It's that, you know, it's more than that. It's as you make your home in me, just as I do in you. As you find all of your comfort, like, you know, in your home, right? That's your comfort place. Your place of peace, place where you could take your shoes off, right? You could wear your ugly clothes. Know what I mean? Ladies, you could run around without your makeup on. It's your place where you can just be. And Jesus is saying, what's that? Would you like me to? Are you asking me to? Okay. Would you like to share on the mic? Because I can. But as you make your home in me, as I do in you, that's where you just simply be. You just strip off all the other junk and just be in him and let him begin to deal with the root issues of the heart, right? It's a lifelong process, but it's worth it. It's not just enough to know him or know about him. So 1 John 2:4-6 actually says that if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person's a liar and not living in the truth. Okay, so anybody here perfect? All right, so it's not enough just to know him. But those who obey God's words truly show how completely they love him. That's how we know we're living in him, right? This is an important verse. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator right next to Jeremiah 29:11. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Right? And then I got another one down there, Philippians 2:5. Right, Nikki? You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So actions and attitude all covered under Jesus right there. And I love how what it's saying in verse number 5 is the word, you know, those who obey completely show how much they love him, right? It's all about love. It's not about obligation. It's not about like being something that you're not interested in actually being. You're just doing it for the other person. It's about, I am completely in love with Jesus and I want every part of my attitude and my heart and my actions to be his. Now, screw up all the time, but I want this and I'm going to continue to pursue the surrender, right? Okay. All right. So I want to look at Psalms 139, but if we could go to verse 23 and 24 first, I'm going to go to the end of the movie, just like a Quentin Tarantino movie, and then we're going to rewind and see how it rolls out from the beginning, right? You guys never seen that movie. You're like, all right, it says, search me, oh God, know my heart. Do you hear that? Search me. Wait a minute, he already knows me. Yeah, I'm going to ask him again. Search me, oh God, know my heart, test me. Anybody been praying that since last week? Lord, I want you to test me. I want you, I dare you, I want you to. I'm hungry for you to test me. Nobody raised their hand. I thought I built a great case last week. No? All right. Still praying about it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well. So search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. Anybody have those lately? My stomach is, right? Got to unwind that thing. Sundays are good for unwinding, you know, the knots that happen Monday through Saturday. Point out anything in me. Why? Does it make God happy to point out our offenses? If he points it out, it's because he wants us to surrender it to him so he can fix it. It's not so he can judge us, right? He's a loving father. Point out. I'm asking you to, I'm begging you to point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Jesus called it abundant life, right? Which means anything that's not of abundant life is something that offends him. Can I say it that way? It seems so extreme. But why would he be offended at things that are not abundant life? Because he died so we could have abundant life. So he feels like if we won't experience that, if we won't fully throw ourselves into the gift of abundant life, everlasting life that he gave us, it's offensive, right? Ooh, fire. Pause and think about that. What brings a person to the place where they can actually say in honesty, without any provocation, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to know me, and I want you to test me, and I want you to point out the things that are offensive in my life to you, and I want you to lead me out of what I want and into abundant life. My first proposal is anybody who's ever experienced being ripped away from what they want and thrown into the path of eternal life says, that was terrible, but I'd like that again, please. I have more of that, right? That hurts so good. Number two, if you've encountered life on any level, it's just worth saying, Jesus, I would like some more of that. Yes? So we'll start at the beginning of Psalms 139, verse 1. Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. Don't you love it? Like, I just read you the last verse, which is search me and know me. Now I'm rewinding. Right? And he starts the movie saying, Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. Right? Which means David is addicted to this process of holiness in his life being developed and worked into him. I've experienced it. You've searched me. You've known me. I'd like some more, please. Do you see what I'm saying? Which means it's awfully embarrassing when he takes you through a test and then he shows you where you failed and then you have to go surrender another chunk in your life, right? But it's so worth it. That's intimacy, right? Yeah. So I'll keep going. You know when I sit down or stand up. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. I skipped one. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You know my thoughts. And you still want to live here? Right? I've got the remote, and you got to watch my TV. Ooh. You got to listen to my self-talk. Right? You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to go back to this, verse number 3. You see when I travel, right? That means when I'm out there and no one else knows what I'm doing, you see me, right? When I rest at home, you know, and the world can't see what's going on, you still are watching, right? It's even in my secret place, my private time, you're watching. You're with me. There's never been a moment where the Holy Spirit left. Like, see ya, let me know when you're done. Right? I mean, he's just holding on for the ride and saying, I will, you know, get this thing into full surrender. Thank you, God. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. So he plugs his ear sometimes. It's coming. Right? You go before me and you follow me. That's strange, right? You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. He knows us completely, and he's still wildly in love with us. If there's anybody sitting in this room with regret, You have to connect with the fact that he knows you and he loves you. He's still wildly in love with you. It doesn't matter to him that you screwed up, right? It matters that you surrender it and you don't go back. But there's got to be freedom to get off the wheel. And that the only thing that breaks that is knowing he's still here. He hasn't left. He's not done, you know? Yeah. He knows everything we say and do before we do it, and yet he's still committed to live inside of us. He knows what is ahead, which is uncertainty, and he knows what is behind us, which is unchangeable. And he bridges them all. And yet, in spite of all that uncertainty, anxiety we have over here and all the stuff we can't change about the past, that he still says, you know what? I'm going to put my hand on you and it's going to be blessing. It's not a spanking. Know what I mean? I'm not here to beat you down. I'm here to pull you up. It's too wonderful for me. Yeah. That word wonderful, Pili, if I said it correctly, it means remarkable, secret, and wonderful. There's only one other time this word was actually used. There's a root word, you know, it's used multiple times, but there's only one other time where this word was used, wonderful, and that was in the story of Samson when Manoah was, the father of Samson, the soon-to-be father of Samson, was told by the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, shows up and says, hey, you and your wife are going to get pregnant, right? And here's how you're supposed to raise him to be a Nazarite. And this man, he said, wait a minute, what is your name? You've told me how to raise my kid, and you haven't even told me my name. Your name. What is it? And what do you think Jesus said?
My name's Jesus.
He didn't say that either. He said, why do you ask my name? This is in Judges 13:17. Why do you ask my name? It's too wonderful for you to understand. Right? Like, the essence of who he is so big and outside of your ability to comprehend who he is, it'd be a waste of my time to try to say it. Moses asked him, if I found favor with you, show me your glory. And God said, I'll call out my name to you. And it was the Lord, strong and mighty, full of compassion and unfailing love, slow to get angry, you know, but not excusing the guilty, visiting the punishments of the fathers down to the third and fourth generation, but visiting blessing upon the generations for 1,000 generations. That's my name. Can you say that back? Right? What do you write on your offering check? Right? He's too wonderful. And what we were seeing in that Psalms 139 verse is just to understand who you are and how you're always there and so consistent in my inconsistency. It's far too wonderful. I can't even get my mind around it. Right? You can actually let that drive your worship, by the way. Yeah, exactly. There's these moments where, have you ever struggled in your times of worship? It could be a lifestyle worship. It could be a time of worship where we're collectively together. But you just feel like, I can't go there. I'm so broken and disappointed in myself. I can't even bring myself, right? And that's when you can reconnect with the, but you're too wonderful for me to comprehend because you're still here and you're still committed. And I'm, right? I feel lost, but I'm with you because you're here because you never left. And let that drive your worship. There's no one too doomed that he can't hold you up, and there's no one too dirty or ruined that he can't touch you still. And his hand will be a hand of blessing. Right? Remember in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, when the angel was predicting, well, Isaiah, but then the angel had to tell Mary, name him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is in our life, right? And that's where the root word from this wonderful is fed into this wonderful. But the point is, what do I call a God who's just so amazing? Well, I have to call him wonderful, but I can't stop there because he's also counseling, giving me direction to get out of this mess. And then, but I can't stop there. Mighty, there's nothing he can't do. So even if there's like addiction or if there's like patterns of behavior and thought that I don't even know what I don't know and I can't get out of my own way and I act like an idiot and I'm stumbling, and yeah, but he's my mighty God. He's not just counseling, but he's also providing the power to do, right? The will and the work. And then he's my everlasting father, right? What do dads do for their kids? They speak into them their identity, and you can do it, and this is how you do it, and come do this with me. You know, let's do this together, and now your turn. You can do it, right? So he's alongside of us, not just telling us and not just saying, here's the battery, bring it back when it's dead, right? He's actually fathering us through the process, and then he's also the Prince of Peace, pouring peace on us when we're just, all of our guts are screaming. And I love the last sentence, so I'm going to read it just because I can. Actually, if we could go back to that previous slide, please. Thank you. Next one. That one. The last sentence. Ready? The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Passionate commitment is in your life. Passionate commitment. Yep. Amen. And you know what? I love this word, passionate commitment, but it doesn't quite sell it enough. The actual translation is the jealous love. The jealous love of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. He's jealous for anything short of your highest love and highest intimacy. So if there's something in the way, yes, he's attacking that thing with passionate commitment, but really he's attacking it with jealous love. Yeah, so put that in the part of you that says, I'm not worthy. Well, you know what? The God of heaven and earth is jealous about you, so you must be something. Right? Yeah, we're all boneheads sometimes, but man, he's jealous to have us, so there's got to be something there that he loves. Right? And you can justify, oh, it must be the Jesus in me. It must be that. Can you just like sit down and say the God of heaven and earth still loves me? And just wear that for a minute. He loves me. He do, right? I'm going to stop it right there. I think we're out of time anyways. Besides, that gives me at least half a good sermon next week. Thank you, Father. If we could go to the last slide with our prayer points, and I think there's enough context to what we said to be able to piece this all together, but thank you for loving me jealously. Seat my heart in an equally passionate burning desire to love you well. Right? Like, I want to be so jealously in love with the Lord that anything that's competing inside, I just want to say, search me, know me, point it out, and get rid of it. You don't want to say, I'm still praying about getting tested. I'm like, no, this is good. I want this, right? It's embarrassing because stuff comes out and you don't want it to and you can't put it back in the box. But it's important that we say, we want that because we love you. We want you to just strip it out, right? Number two, I confess and surrender my darkness to the one who will never leave me. Just stop running, right? And then the last one, you have uncountable good thoughts toward me. And you're going to see this again as we attack this in the future. His good thoughts toward us are uncountable. So renew my mind until that's all I think of you. It's the God who sees me and still has good thoughts anyways, right? Yes? Yeah, so Father God, Lord, thank you for your jealous love in our life. I don't think we fully understand what that even means. And so, God, if it's too wonderful for us to even consider, I just want to say thank you. Lord, let that drive our desire to love you well, I pray. God, let us just despise the things that get in the way and hold us back from fully walking into all of you and making our home in you as you do in us. Lord, I pray that if there's any unsurrendered stuff within us, that you would allow that tension to just surface, God, so that we can hold that before you and experience the joy, the thrill, the fear, the whole ball of wax of saying, God, this is weird and I don't know what to do with it, so I would like you to have it. Lord, I pray that you teach us the art of surrender. Yeah, Lord, so many of us came into the kingdom to the just as I am message, but Lord, it's time for the church to learn the other part. It's I surrender all. And so God, we declare that you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of us surrendering it all. And Lord, in our imperfection, we say, God, purify us. Make us holy and clean. Make us like Jesus. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you have uncountable good thoughts now on this side of our brokenness. You're not looking at us, waiting for us to be perfect, but you already see us and love us with uncountable good thoughts. Lord God, I pray that you will start to bring that into our life and allow that to shape who we are, what we think of ourselves, how we react, what we respond to, how we get rid of the negative worldly thinking and the value we place on the things that are not of you. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for joy. God, is there anyone else that feels led by the Spirit to add to that? It's for this body. It's for this moment. Appropriate, powerful.
Lord, thank you. We just received this word. And we receive by faith that you're thinking the best thoughts towards us all the time. Lord, we think about how for our own kids, we have aspirations. You know, we see into their future, not perfectly, but desiring the best for them. And how much more you, the perfect Father, are looking into our future saying, yes, son, yes, daughter, I love you. I'm for you. So we just receive that by faith. And Lord, help us when our own thoughts accuse us. Lord, let us not agree with the accuser of the brethren, but let us always believe this is who you are, your wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, and Lord, thank you so much for your jealous love for us. Lord, the closest thing we have to it on earth is our jealous desire for our spouses and that sort of thing. And so we just receive again by faith how much more you are jealously for us. And that's a good thing. You're the one who's allowed to be jealous for us, and we just receive that. And Lord, we pray that we would respond to you in kind with just a holy fire, holy love for you and your purposes. We just agree with this word today. We surrender to you afresh. Light us on fire with passion for you, passion for your purposes, obedience that comes from love, like Daryl was saying. We pray. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody? Thank you, God. Lord, ask for fruit from this. That, Lord, your word does not return void, but it accomplishes exactly what you set it out to do. And so, Lord, we just receive the word of God into our life. We ask for the fullness of change and the fruit of repentance and the fruit of freedom and the fruit of joy, purity, holiness, God, to rise up within us and become another level deeper into our identity and our lifestyles, we pray. We are totally reserved for you and nothing else, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, huh? Well, you can sit in a minute and then, you know, don't forget your children.